Today is the 16th Sunday after Pentecost. The scripture lessons are from Psalm 146 and the Gospel according to St. Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31. Today's message is titled, Created to Live Eternally. Psalm 146. Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Here ends the psalm. The Holy Gospel, according to St. Luke, the 16th chapter, beginning at verse 19. This is Jesus speaking. There was a rich man who was dressed in purple and fine linen and lived in luxury every day. At his gate was laid a beggar named Lazarus, covered with sores and longing to eat what fell from the rich man's table. Even the dogs came and licked his sores. The time came when the beggar died, and the angels carried him to Abraham's side. The rich man also died and was buried in hell, where he was in torment. He looked up and saw Abraham far away with Lazarus by his side. So he called to him, Father Abraham, have pity on me and send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, because I am in agony in this fire. But Abraham replied, Son, remember that in your lifetime you received your good things, while Lazarus received bad things. But now he is comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, a great chasm has been fixed, so that those who want to go from here to you cannot. Nor can anyone cross over from there to us. He answered, Then I beg you, Father, send Lazarus to my father's house, for I have five brothers. Let him warn them, so that they will not come also to this place of torment. Abraham replied, They have Moses and the prophets, let them listen to them. No, Father Abraham, he said. But if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent. He said to him, If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. The Gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, thou hast given us thy word for a light to shine upon our path. Grant us so to meditate on that word and to follow its teaching, that we may find in it the light that shines more and more until the perfect day, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Early this past Monday morning, very early in the morning, my wife and older daughter got up to turn on the television. Very early, it was 4:30 a.m. in the morning to turn on the TV. And perhaps some of you also joined in the turning on the TV in that early morning wee hours before the sun rose to watch an event that last took place over 70 years ago. So long ago that only one person who participated in the last event will be participating in this event. They got up to watch the funeral service of Queen Elizabeth II. When I rose for the day a long while later, I joined in watching bits and pieces and parts of the procession from the funeral service to the committal service, the grandness of all the participants, the pageantry and symbolism throughout, all the various colors of uniforms, and it was just amazing, the pageantry. And through it all was arching the Christian faith. Yes, the Christian faith of the Queen was profound. Again, it was only the Duke of Kent who had walked in the funeral procession of King George and now is walking in the procession of Queen Elizabeth II. I joined in the watching as the procession near Windsor Castle on its way, bringing the Queen to a resting place in St. George's Chapel, Windsor Castle. On full display was the Christian faith. With all the world watching, hearing of the life that is in Jesus Christ, which never ends. The life in Christ continues on for those who believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. As the committal service concluded, from the casket were removed the scepter, the orb, and the crown. All three placed in the hands of the rector, the archbishop, and placed on the high altar. All three moved and set on the high altar. It was rather moving to see the scepter, the scepter and the orb. They were crafted and created in 1661 for Charles II's coronation. They are the symbols of power and governance, and the orb is the monarch's power derives from God. They were handed to the Queen Elizabeth in 1952 in her coronation, and now left behind on the high altar. Somewhere during the service, and I don't remember exactly when, the rectors and the Archbishop of Canterbury stopped referring to her as Queen Elizabeth and started saying Sister Elizabeth. Fascinating throughout the Christian faith. But it is a really, really powerful example. There are things of this earth and not of the things to come. And if you listen to that funeral service and that committal service, along with the Queen's messages throughout the years, of those messages of Queen Elizabeth II, the Queen's Christian faith and her love of Jesus Christ were deeply expressed. As the scepter, the orb, and crown are left on the high altar, they're left behind. The trappings of being Queen and to come are the things of Elizabeth, child of God, redeemed by Christ Jesus. There is a clear demarcation between the things of this world and of the things to come. Of what is to come. That demarcation is when earthly life comes to a close in death. Just as the queen's possessions and fortunes, palaces and that royal power, they're all left behind. Just as my dad's airplanes are left behind. The only thing that goes forward with you is whether Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Whether you're redeemed by His precious blood or not. Are you born again in Christ Jesus? Or are you still dead in your sins and separated from God for all eternity? Has the fact of the resurrection of Jesus Christ had an impact on your heart? Our reading from Luke chapter 16 this morning shows there is more to existence. It shows there is an existence, a recognizable existence after physical death. The account of the rich man and Lazarus through the years has been the center of controversy. Is this account a parable or is this account of an actual event? First off, let's remember a parable tells the truth of heavenly things in earthly images. So the truth of heavenly things is that one is recognizable after physical death occurs. And also there is a great chasm between the places that no one is able to cross over. There is a forever separation of the unrighteous from God. The unrighteous are eternally separated from God. What is fascinating, and what points to this event as an actual event, is twofold. First, this event is never called a parable, never designated a parable, as the other stories of Jesus are designated as a parable, saying, and Jesus told this parable. It's not found here, and never is designated or called a parable. Second, the actual use of names of persons, Lazarus and Abraham. None of the stories, no stories designated as parables use actual names. The manner this is placed in the scripture can very well be seen as a true historical account of an actual event occurring. The rich man and Lazarus, telling of their places after their physical death. Both died. We only read of the rich man buried, not Lazarus. Both, leaving behind the life situation they had in this world and entered into the reality of what comes after physical death. Note, neither ceased to exist. Both have an existence that extends beyond this physical life. You have an existence that extends beyond this physical life. You are created to live eternally. So, how mindful are you daily that you will have an existence that is more, much more than this physical life? How mindful are you daily of that existence after physical death is predicated upon what one does during this physical life? Let's look at Lazarus, lying at the gate as a beggar and covered with sores, longing to have scraps that fall from the rich man's table, longing for the least of leftovers as dogs lick his sores. The rich man dressed in purple and fine linen, living in luxury every day. Yet with all his riches, seems he was not generous nor compassionate, even though he was well aware of Lazarus lying just outside his home at the gate. He could recognize who Lazarus was, and he knew Lazarus' name as Lazarus stood by Abraham's side. This rich man was familiar with Lazarus. He could recognize his existence after physical death and knew him by name. They both died. It appears Lazarus was not buried. There is no mention of Lazarus being buried. The rich man died and was buried. That's what the scripture says. Angels carried Lazarus to Abraham's side. The rich man went to the place of torment with great agony from fire. Not what was expected. Surely the rich man was blessed by God with such wealth, and Lazarus was cursed by God as seen by the sores covering his body. Isn't it the rich man who would be by Abraham's side and Lazarus the one being tormented by the fire? The rich man in torment looks and sees far away Abraham with Lazarus by his side. Note that Abraham was recognizable and able to interact with the rich man. The rich man says, and this is from the New American Standard Bible 1995 translation, because it's a little more clear in expressing the Greek than the NIV in this moment. The rich man says, Luke chapter 16, verse 24 from the NASB 1995. Verse 24, chapter 16. And he cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus so that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool off my tongue, for I am in agony in this flame. Have mercy on me, Father Abraham. To which came the answer, again from the 1995 New American Standard Bible translation. For it again expresses the Greek more clearly. Luke chapter 16, verses 25 and 26. But Abraham said, Child, remember that during your life you received your good things, and likewise Lazarus bad things. But now he is being comforted here, and you are in agony. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a great chasm fixed, so that those who wish to come over from here to you will not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us. None may cross over from there to us. Two things. First, the rich man is where he is due to what he did with the good things in the life he received. Do you remember the parable of the foolish rich man whose barns were busting so full, and then when the harvest came, he decided to tear those barns down and build bigger barns to have all that stuff stored up for him and fill it up and take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry, storing up for self and not rich towards God? His life was forfeit that night, and who will get what was prepared for him? Being rich towards God is sharing what God has given, being generous as the Lord has been generous. The rich man was not generous, never even showing mercy, even with scraps from his table. Presumably, the dogs were able to eat these scraps from the table that fell from the table. And those very possible, presuming those very same dogs were the ones that were going out to lick Lazarus's sores. For it seems like there are household dogs. They were fed scraps, it seems, and they licked Lazarus' sores while Lazarus longed for scraps from the table and was never given any. Second, Father Abraham points out there's a great chasm that separates them. So great is the chasm, not one can cross over. The Greek word order translated in English is, a chasm great has been fixed. No one has the power nor ability to cross over from either side. That's what that chasm, it's been so fixed. No one has the ability nor the power to cross over from either side. Hear this. Hear it well. How life is lived in the here and now. Actions during physical life determine which side of the chasm one will be when the day of physical death comes and your eternal self continues. Randy Alcorn writes in Money, Possessions, and Eternity, "The principle is timeless. There's a powerful relationship between our true spiritual condition and our attitude and actions concerning money and possessions." A little while, a couple paragraphs later, Alcorn writes these, "Shows that our handling of money is a litmus test of our true character. It's an index of our spiritual life. Our stewardship of our money and possessions becomes the story of our lives." As it's written. It was actually in Luke chapter 16, just a couple verses before this event is recorded. Luke chapter 16, verse 30, Jesus says, "No servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money." And it's shortly after this, the event of the rich man and Lazarus is told by Jesus. Appears this rich man, he served money. And so too his five brothers, whom he wants to spare from his fate. He wants to spare them from his fate in the flames. "Father Abraham, send Lazarus to warn my brothers." And this is how Father Abraham answers. Luke chapter 16, beginning at verse 28. This is the man says, "For I have five brothers. Let him warn them so they will not also come to this place of torment." That's the rich man calling out. "Let him warn them." Abraham replied, "They have Moses and the prophets. Let them listen to them." "No, Father Abraham," he said, "but if someone from the dead goes to them, they will repent." He said to him, "If they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead." Moses and the prophets, they together are witness enough. Moses and the prophet are witness enough. "For if they will not listen to the scriptures, not even rising from the dead will change them." Remember the road to Emmaus. How did Jesus explain to the two travelers who were confused about the events in Jerusalem and the woman's witness of the empty tomb and the angel saying Jesus was alive? How did Jesus answer those two travelers that were discussing and arguing over the events in Jerusalem? The witness of the empty tomb by the women, and also the witness of the women saying, "An angel said Jesus is alive." And the others going to the tomb and finding the tomb empty. They were arguing. Jesus answers this way. Luke 24, beginning of verse 25. Luke 24, beginning of verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Christ have to suffer these things and then enter his glory? And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself." The scriptures foretold. Isaiah 53, written about 700 years earlier. 700 years before Christ, Isaiah 53, a few portions of it. Isaiah 53, beginning at verse 5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds we are healed. We are all like sheep have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now jumping down to verse 11. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life and be satisfied. By his knowledge, my righteous servant will justify many. And he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion among the great. And he will divide the spoils with the strong. Because he poured out his life unto death and was numbered with the transgressors. For he bore the sin of many and made intercessions for the transgressors. It's one example of Christ crucified, pierced for our transgressions. An example of Christ rising from the dead. After the suffering of his soul, he will see the light of life. Still to this day, many are not convinced, even though Christ Jesus has risen from the dead. Even as early as right after the fall of humanity, the Lord God had Moses record the event in Genesis 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel. Strike his heel, crucified on the cross. Jesus dead. Oh, I've won. Wrong. Christ rose. Christ has destroyed death. Your head has been crushed, O death. Even though the event of Christ crucified, dead and buried, and rising on the third day is well attested as fact, really did take place. To this day, many will not repent and believe, and they go on about life with little to no thought about being created to live eternally. For when physical death comes, they will continue on in either the place of the tormented rich man or the place of comfort with Lazarus. Their life's actions will lead to one place or the other eternally, with that great chasm fixed between, never to be crossed. Luke chapter 16, verse 31, he said to him, if they do not listen to Moses and the prophets, they will not be convinced, even if someone rises from the dead. The word translated as convinced in the Greek is akouo. Akouo. Akouo, we get the English word from that root, akouo, acoustics. Hear. Akouo means hear. It means to hear, to listen, to comprehend by hearing. Figuratively, this word is used to mean hear God's voice, which prompts God, him, to birth the faith within. So the hearing comes in and makes a difference in you. First, faith is then birthed in you. That is to hear, truly hear and receive the inbirth of faith from the Lord God. Remember, it is written in Romans chapter 10, verse 17. Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word of Christ. What does this mean for us? What does this mean for us? Once the day of physical death comes, crossing that horizon, the eternal reality is fixed. And there's no more chances. No crossing over from one side to the other. When we cross the horizon of physical death, eternal reality is fixed. No more chances. Contrary to the prosperity gospel, the rich man shows material riches are not evidence of God's love and blessing. And likewise, poor and destitute like Lazarus is not evidence of cursed of God. Riches do not save, and more often they have the power to really separate you from God, because riches are a lot easier to trust in sometimes And it's written, you cannot serve both God and money. Matthew chapter 7, it is written, verses 18 through 20. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you will recognize them. By their fruit, you will recognize them. What shall we do? What shall we do with this reality of being created to live eternally? What shall we do? For we cannot earn our way into heaven. The answer is the one risen from the dead, Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. That's the answer. The one risen from the dead, Christ Jesus, the crucified and risen Lord. Turn to Him, the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent and believe. Be fully convinced with faith in birth in you by the work of the living God. Then as the faith by grace grows in you by being discipled by others who have been in and lived the faith by grace more than you, discipled by them, you will see in you, by faith with grace, the transformation of who you were when the ways of the world give way now to the ways of the Lord, which is the new you in Christ Jesus, all by God's compassionate mercy and grace for you. The ways of the world of the old you will give way to the ways of the Lord, of the new you in Christ Jesus, all by God's compassionate mercy and grace. The new you, who you are in Christ, will be with you into eternity. Into eternity you were created to live. For you were created to be with the holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty. And Christ's redeeming work on the cross opens that way to you. To be with the Lord, the holy, holy, holy God. The new you in Christ that you will carry into eternity brings you into the very presence of the living God, all by the redeeming work of Christ on the cross. The scepter, the orb, the crown are left setting behind on the high altar. And who she was as a child of God through the Lord Jesus Christ is all that really matters now going into eternity. Who she was as a child of God carries her into eternity. You and I, we will leave all behind. And who we are as children of God through the Lord Jesus Christ is all that really matters going on into eternity. Christ's redeeming work in us carries us on into the eternity we were created to live in with the living God, the great God of wonders, who lives beyond the galaxies, has fixed this in His divine will. We'll just, as the Lord has created us, to live eternally. In the divine will the Lord God has fixed, when this physical life crosses over to eternal life, who you were in this physical life now impacts who you are in eternal life. Are you a child of this world, dead in sins, or are you a child of the living God, redeemed by the living Christ, crucified and risen Lord, and going to live in eternity? Because you can't cross across that great chasm that's been fixed by the divine will of God. It is by grace you have been saved through faith. and you have been saved to live eternally with the risen Lord Jesus Christ, saved by the finished work of Christ on the cross. And it's all to the glory of the Lord God, Creator of heaven and earth, the God of great wonders beyond our galaxy. It's all to the glory of the living God. Amen and amen.